Praise the Lord for all he's done. It is just a good thing to fellowship together. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. I got tired of watching those this afternoon. I just turned it off after a while. I said, well, what am I doing? I'm wasting my time watching this. So went up to my study and studied a little bit. Jeremiah, what's going on? Bubbling. Oh, you're bubbling, huh? He wants to keep on saying, we're done singing. We're done singing for now. All right. He's bubbling back there, and now he wants to sing the good news song. Yeah, that's all right, buddy. I got to preach. Hebrews chapter 12. I better get to doing that. All right, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We were discussing last week about God's chastening hand upon us, and none of us have actually gotten our suffering anywhere close to where the Lord Jesus Christ has suffered for us, suffered a contradiction of sinners against himself. But nevertheless, the God does chasten his children, as we found out last week, and we need to be exercised by it. Now we're down to verse 9 in our passage here. That would be Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. In these two verses we see God's chastening compared to our earthly parents' chastening of us. Our earthly parents train us for this life, while God trains us for eternal life. You'll notice it says, therefore, they verily for a few days chastened us. You know, when you really look back at your children as you've raised them up and then they go out on their own and everything, hasn't time flown, whatever's correct, didn't it fly by? There your children were, little babies in your arms. You brought them home from the hospital after birth. Next thing you know, they're going out on their own. They're getting married or going to college or they're getting a job, and then they start living on their own, get married, whatever. It's actually a few days you got them. And it's important during those few days that you have them that you do discipline them in the way that pleases the Lord. And discipline is not always just like the negative, you think of the spanking side of it, but of the training side of it as well. Training them in the things of the Lord, the things that are right and good. And always training them to do the right things and to say the right things and manners and ethics and so forth. And of course, most important of all, of course, is to learn of Jesus, to learn of salvation. And to learn that they should obey the Lord now that they belong to him. And this is what the Lord is talking to us about here in verses 9 and 10. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And we gave them respect. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? The Father who is going to take us home to be with him forever and ever? Shouldn't we respond to him and his chastening and his disciplining in our life? He created us, thus his chastening is more important than our own parents' disciplining of us. In fact, some children grow up before they get saved in a household and they don't really get a good discipline system in their life. But when they get saved, now they learn that the Lord is disciplining them. And that's a great discipline. And especially if you respond to it in the correct manner. Now, he chastens us, and that's the Father in heaven. He chastens us to correct our spirits and that we might live in a way that's pleasing unto him. Why do our parents correct us? That we might live in a way that pleases them. And that's what you're going to see in verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. It really is nice when your children are disciplined to the point that you can actually take them into a store and not worry about what's going to happen. And of course, I'm sure you've all had the experience of someone bringing their child into a store and wow, it was just like Armageddon started or something like that, you know. But a child trained is just a pleasure to the parents. And it's no difference for our Heavenly Father up in heaven. We're to respond to the chastening that He gives us. And by the way, last week I said, all God's children get spankings, you know. All God's children get the chastening. We need to respond because He loves us. And He wants this for our good, for our profit in verse 10. But He, for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, they train us as they see good, our parents. While God trains us for our profit and to become partakers of His holiness. Parents train children for their own pleasure and profit. God chastens to profit us. Not to profit Himself, to profit us. Isn't that an interesting thing? Our parents disciplined us for their own profit, for their pleasure. Our Heavenly Father disciplines us for our profit. For our good, our interest is His motive. I can't get over this. And I've said it several times recently because it's kind of a new thought in my mind lately at this stage of my life, I guess. And that is that our God, who has made everything and created everything, and who must be very busy just keeping track of everything, and He holds everything in His hand, and by Him all things consist or are held together, that He is actually concerned about little, old, tiny Gary. And you can say the same thing about yourself. That this God is interested in my profit. He's interested that I would live holy and godly. That just really is a hard one to just grab a hold of. And not only me, but you and you and you and you. And we get outside of our own building here and the people of the whole world. And He knows everybody. He cares about everybody. How is that? On prayer meeting night, we'll have prayer groups scattered all over the room here. People praying all at the same time. And God hears everyone separately. How does He do that? I mean, the guys are in the back praying. The ladies are up in the front here praying. And I believe that while I'm praying, when everybody else is praying, I do believe that I have an audience with God. Even though all of you are saying the same thing. That you have an audience with God. How does He do this? This is just an awesome thing to me. And what a God we serve. He loves us. He cares about us. And He chastens us because He loves every son whom He receiveth. And He's interested in our profit. Wow. He's not an egotistical God who just uses us for His own purposes and so forth, as He is accused by the unsaved many times as being that kind of a God. No, He's a God who loves you. And the sooner you realize that, the better you will be in your service to Him and in your response to Him. Can you somehow get it through your mind and your head and everything? God cares about you. He's interested in you. There's verses in the Bible where it says, He pondereth all our goings. That God would sit on His throne and ponder what Gary's going to do the next few hours. What kind of a God is that? He pondereth over what you're going to do, how you're going to think. That's a great God, folks. Now, the characteristics in our own disciplining as seen in God's. Parents should do this out of love. Look at verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Also, sonship is seen here. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Verse 9 says that as a result of this, we who are being the ones chastened ought to reverence him. In verse 9 it says, and we gave them reverence. You know, when your parents disciplined you, whatever way they disciplined you in your young life and so forth, did you always appreciate it? but I would say later on, didn't you have respect for them? I would hope so. And didn't you reverence them? And the same thing ought to be our response to God up in heaven. They do it for our own pleasure, or for their own pleasure, and for their profit. And it is that they might, that their children would be holy and would be good. Now, how should the children respond? In verse 5, it says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Neither should you despise your own parents' disciplining of you. It's for your good. And then faint not, also in verse 5. Despise not, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Well, I just can't take that. You know, whining, complaining about the discipline that's being handed out to you. How about when it's handed out to you by God? Do you whine to God and complain to God? No, we're not to despise the chastening, nor faint underneath the chastening. But rather, look at verse 7. But if ye endure chastening, there you go, endure it. It's for a reason. Boy, you know, I have to take these pills. And I've got so many different pills that I take that they fill up my hand when I pour them into my hand. They fill up the whole thing. Every day I got to do that. And then my wife has one for the evening, another cup full of pills, not quite as big as the morning one. And I have to put all these in my mouth and swallow them down. I don't know, how do you take pills? My wife is, she really... What's the word when you hurt yourself a lot? She really tortures herself taking pills one at a time. And we got about 13 or 15 of these to do. And it's, you know, I put them all in at once and swallow them down. I don't know how it happens, but I just get them in there and down they go. And then in the evening, the same thing. And every day I have to do that. And you know what? Those things are for my good, apparently. Some of you have told me some of the things to give. I've listened to you. And I do what you tell me to do the best I can. And I take all these natural supplements and things like that to help my cancer situation and all. I don't know how those pills know where to go. You know, you swallow them all down. How does it know where to go? I don't understand all that. But who knows? Maybe that's the reason why I'm still alive. So I just put them down. But I have to endure that. I don't want to stop doing that. It's for my good, I know it. I don't like it, but I do it. And the chastening of the Lord comes into our lives. And we need that. We need it. And we need to endure it. And then verse 7 says, God dealeth with you as with sons. It proves the fact that he's even concerned enough to bring discipline or chastening into my life tells me I belong to him. I'm his son. Just like when my parents do it, I know that they're my parents because they discipline me. And it's kind of a comforting thing, actually, after you get done crying and maybe, you know, all the results of not really liking the chastening and you stop and you think about it, it's comforting to know. You know, it's always interesting. I never saw my dad spank anybody else's kids. He only spanked us. He only disciplined us in our family. Never saw him hit anybody else's child. That was always an interesting thing. It proves I'm his. I'm a son of his. And God disciplines you and me. Notice, he doesn't necessarily discipline the lost of the world, but he surely disciplines his own. That's because he loves you. And you ought to realize that. And it's for our profit, verse 10. But he for our profit. And 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So it's not joyous. I never said, well, Dad, how about if I do something wrong so you can spank me? I didn't look forward to it. It wasn't something I was joyed over. But, you know, afterward, it produced something. It produced peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It yields fruit. Now, chastening is joyous, or at least seems to be joyous. Notice chastening is present, but afterward it yieldeth fruit. There's four ways you can react to God's chastening. Four ways. Number one, we can despise it and treat it lightly as something that I really don't like, despise it. Everyone goes through it. And I'm sure that there's been things in your life that have happened. If you've been saved for any length of time, you can look back in your life and say, hey, I can see the Lord was trying to show me the right way to go there. I was going wrong, or I was thinking wrong, and he was working to straighten me out. That's discipline and chastening, hand of the Lord, the way he does it. You can despise that, or you can ignore it. We can ignore the circumstances as chastening of God, or fail to recognize it. I've seen individuals under conviction because of chastening, but they quickly forget when it is over. They forget why the Lord brought that in their life. And many times a Christian will do the same thing over again, and the Lord has to chasten them for it again. And then they forget again as soon as the chastening has gone away and everything, and they forget about it. So you can despise it or treat it lightly and learn nothing from it as a result. Second thing, we can faint under it, become discouraged as a result of it, and miss the blessing that comes as a result of it. Well, I don't know why the Lord let that happen in our life. Almost like as if to say, God, do you really know what you're doing? God knows what he's doing. He knows you better than you know yourself. Do you know that? He knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows what's good for you. And he'll never do something, even if it's a difficult circumstance that he allows you to go through. It's not because he hates you or is picking on you. It's because he loves you and wants to teach you and train you to go in the path that is right. But we can faint under it. That's some ways you can react to God's chastening. You can despise it. You can faint under it. Or enduring it in a passive way, though profiting nothing spiritually from it. Well, I guess the Lord's just doing his chastening again. I'll just sit here and wait till it's over. No, we're to be exercised by it. That's what it says here. Verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are, you notice that? Exercised thereby. Not just sitting passively there and waiting for the Lord's chastening to kind of push you this way or push you that way. Well, I'm just going to. No, you got to be exercised thereby. That's action. That's active. A response to the chastening hand of the Lord. But you can endure it in a passive way if you want to. Some Christians do that, and it seems like they never get any blessing out of the chastening of the Lord. Sometimes children can get so rebellious, and their parents discipline them, and it's like as if they just stand there and could care less about it. And they just passively take the chastening instead of being exercised by it. Like, ooh, I guess I'm doing wrong. I need to start doing what is right. Another way you can react, and this is a good way, we can be exercised by it. We can change our way as a result of it. And it will bring forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that's what the Lord wants in your life. Respond in a good way to the chastening hand of the Lord. Verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Our endurance of chastening and being exercised by it unto righteousness will strengthen us and encourage others. Wherefore, verse 12, he said, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees. That's someone who's spiritually weak and he's in a spiritual weak condition. And the exhortation here is, hey, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Be exercised by the chastening hand of the Lord. Don't say, oh, the Lord's beating me down and I guess he just wants me to lay down and do nothing. No. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. The chastening isn't meant to leave you in a weakened state. It's to strengthen you and to bring forth fruit of righteousness in your heart and in your life. And verse 13 says, and make straight paths for your feet. See, the discipline is to get you out of the crooked way into the straight path of the Lord. You're going the wrong way before the disciplinary action of the Lord comes in. He's trying to straighten you out to get going down the straight path. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. That's an interesting thing. Now, I'm going to admit to you, that's a little difficult to understand, okay? It's a little difficult to understand. And here's what I think it's saying. And what I think is also what a lot of other men of God have thought about this passage as well. Meaning that when the Lord chastens you and you are exercised thereby and you make straight the path and you strengthen up your hands and your weak knees, it helps those others who have turned out of the way to see your testimony and to follow in your footsteps. As it says there, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. What if you don't respond to the chastening hand of the Lord? You respond like one of those other four ways. Despise it, pay no attention to it, just passively let it happen to you, and don't be exercised by it. Someone else watching you is going to do the same thing. And they may be turned out of the way because of your own example of responding in a bad way to the chastening of the Lord. Actually, this is hard to take. We should be glad when the Lord is chastening us. And we should be exercised by it and go in a straight path and say, look, you come with me. Lest the Lord have to deal with you in that manner. I believe that's what it's talking about. But let it rather be healed, as it says there in verse 13. So our endurance of chastening and being exercised unto righteousness will strengthen ourselves and encourage others to go in that straight pathway as well. How you doing, Christian? How are you responding to the chastening of the Lord? Because that's where it's going to end. And verse 14 picks up another thought. We move from chastisement to the continuance in the faith as evidence of genuine Christianity. We'll pick up with that next time. Let me just ask you, how you doing? And by the way, have you had the chastening hand of the Lord? have you experienced it at all? I hope you have. You know why? Because it's a proof of your sonship or your daughtership, okay, with the Lord. It's a proof of it. If you don't have it, maybe you need to think about whether you really are a child of God or not. Because God does chasten all of his children because he loves them. Just as your parents chastened you for their pleasure because they loved you. That's why. And the same thing is true of the Lord. So don't despise or faint under the chastening of the Lord. Now, while it's happening, it's not joyous, it's grievous. Yeah. But you know what? Afterward, it does bring joy and happiness and righteousness and a straight path that you're on. And we're going to learn that we're to follow after holiness. and peace. And we'll look at that next time we get together. But I hope that you will respond in a good way to the chastening hand of the Lord. That's it for tonight. Let me ask, does anybody have any questions about the chastening hand of the Lord, or the chastening, what the Lord does? Don't be afraid to ask a question if you do have one about it. Maybe I can say something that might help you. Is there anyone like that? I know you all get it. You all get it. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. You know, we had a business meeting this morning, and we voted to pay to have the piano at Faith Baptist Church in Allentown tuned up. And I just want to say a hearty thank you. Thank you for voting in the affirmative for that. And I'm sure it'll be a blessing to that church downtown. That church is right down the middle of town on 12th Street. Oh, I don't know. What's it? It's between Chu Street and down like Liberty, that area, if you're familiar with Allentown at all. It's right down there in the center part of town. But I'm going to tell you what. There are a lot of churches springing up in storefronts and things like that all over the city of Allentown. Some of them are well attended and everything. And you know why? Because they're compromising with the world with contemporary Christian music and everything. There's a man. He's got a church ministry there who isn't compromising with those things. He still sings the good old hymns of the faith. And what a blessing it was to have him lead us in singing on Wednesday night. And he gets into it. He really likes to sing and stuff. That being Pastor Bob Hargrove. Good man of God down there in the middle of the town. Trying to take a stand for the Lord. And it's a blessing to see. And so I want to say thank you for saying yes to that. And some of the guys were even thinking of the same thing before I brought it up. And it was a real blessing to hear them say, you know what, Pastor, I was thinking the same thing. Two of you did that. And what a blessing that was. Yeah, when we were sitting there and I heard the piano plunk away, and ouch. I just like music, and so do you guys too, you know, and I could just tell, oh boy, that thing needs help. And it's a nice piano. It's kind of like ours. It's just probably a little bit older, but it's a grand piano. And so I'm glad that we're able to do this. I just want to thank you for that, for having that type of a heart. And, boy, I tell you what, that message this morning, I'm going to tell you, was not an easy one to preach. And we're going to have to continue it next Sunday morning. And I'd like you to pray that God would help me to present it in the way it needs to be presented. Because I'm going to hit on some things next week that some people may not want to hear. But we need to have a church that's rightly dividing the word of truth, standing upon the truth, holding firm the doctrine. Because where else are you going to go? There's compromise and apostasy going on in churches all across our area here, let alone the world. I just, even here in the Lehigh Valley, it is a total wreck. I was in a church this week. My wife and I went. And we had to be there for another reason. I'm going to tell you what, I felt like I was at a rock concert. And this is in a church that I know 50 years ago wouldn't even touch that, wouldn't get close to that. It was a Bible Fellowship church, and the Bible Fellowship churches were strong, fundamental churches, say 50 plus years ago. And I'm not just saying that without knowledge. I know we actually as a family attended a Bible Fellowship church for a few years up in the Stroudsburg area. And they sang good old hymns like we do here. Today, they got the rock and roll set up, the drums, the guitars and everything. And the piano sits over there silent. And they pipe in the rock and roll music, and these kids are dancing to the music in a Bible Fellowship church.
People who started those churches are probably rolling, not rock and rolling, but rolling in their grave. You know, if that's not true, of course we know. But if they knew what was going on, I believe they would be very, very upset. And we're not going to go that direction. God giving us grace and a sound mind, we're going to keep going in a direction that's going to be honoring and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Rock music is no good, folks. It is no good. It is from hell, inspired by the devil. And that we can prove. And why the church has grabbed a hold of that and put it into their church as part of their worship and singing unto the Lord. And you know what? All the songs were worship songs. Words over again and over again. And none of the songs had any teaching in it about sin, repentance, a Savior, salvation. It was all, "Oh, I worship Thee. I love Thee. I believe. I love You. I worship You." And over and over, and that's it. I saw people in the audience who I know aren't even saved just going along with it like is it the greatest thing since Swiss cheese or whatever. I say, you know what? They have lost their effectiveness in testimony. They've lost it. And those kids, as soon as they become teenagers, they're going to say, "I'm not satisfied with this music. I want the world's rock and roll music." And they're going to go away from the church when they become teenagers and older. And that's what's going to happen. It's a sad thing. Brother Jim.
I'm speaking from my own experience within the Center City itself. I think it's terrible. The kids nowadays, they show no respect to you. Yeah. They'll cuss at you. They'll damage property. Yeah. And the parents, they're right there and they see them doing it and don't care. Yeah. I don't think many of the Center City goes to church.
Yeah, probably not. I know they're not going to Brother Hargrove's. I know that. And you know what? All these kids who you're talking about, they're connected into the rock music. Oh boy, they're into that, and they're hooked up all day long listening to this rebellious music, making them rebellious to everything, all authority. And a church that brings it in, don't think you're going to get away with it. "Oh, but we have Christian words to our song." That's not going to satisfy them in time. It's not going to satisfy. All right, well, just thought I'd pass that on to you. We're not going to move away from where we started. Bible Fellowship churches have moved away. And they're all around the valley. Bible Fellowship, there's one over here, and there's one over in Bethlehem, and there's one in Allentown, the Bible Fellowship churches. And they, almost all of them, have gone the CCM route, contemporary Christian music. I'm not going to say almost. I don't know of a single one that's still holding on to the old ways. They're all gone over to it. Well, just a word of the wise. Be thankful that you can come to the church and sing. You don't have to worry about worldly music messing up your kids' minds. All right. Well, okay, let's have a word of prayer and be dismissed. Our Father, thank You for the Word of God. Help us to be a faithful church in these days and in this day and age. Where else are people going to be able to go someday to find a good, solid stand upon the Word of God and no compromise and standards and a right Bible and right music? Where are people going to go if we go the same direction? Help us to be found faithful to You, Lord. And help us to be loyal to You and Your work. Help us throughout the week to be a witness for You. Help everybody to get an opportunity to say something for the Lord this week, or hand out a tract, or some way to witness for Christ. Help us all to look for that and do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.